Is hell a real place? This message was first preached by J.C. Ryle in the 1800s. When a house is on fire, what must be done first? We must give the alarm and wake the occupants. This is true love for our neighbor. This is true kindness. Friend, I love your soul and want it to be saved. I am therefore going to tell you something about hell. There is such a place as hell. Let no one deceive you with vain words. Men try hard not to believe what they don't like. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to judge the world, he will punish all those who have not repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in him. And it will be a fearful punishment. All who are found unrepentant and unbelieving, all who have clung to their sins and loved the world system and set their affections on the things of the world, all who are without Christ will come to a dreadful end. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Our first point this morning is, hell is a place of punishment. The punishment of hell will be most severe. There is no pain like burning. Try putting your finger in the flame of a candle, just for a moment, if you doubt this. Fire is the most destructive and devouring of all elements. Look into the opening of a fiery blast furnace and think what it would be like to be in there. Fire is, of all elements, most opposed to life. Creatures can live in the air, on the earth, and in water, but nothing can live in the fire. Yet fire is the destiny to which those without Christ, the unbelievers, will come. They will be thrown into the lake of burning fire. The punishment of hell will be eternal. Millions and millions of ages will pass away, and the fire will never burn out. The fuel of that fire will never waste away and be consumed. It is unquenchable fire. Friend, these are the sad and painful things to speak of. I have no pleasure in dwelling on them. I could rather say with the Apostle Paul, who said, I have great sorrow to speak about these things. But they are things written for our learning, and it is needful to consider them. They are part of the Scriptures, which are profitable, and they must be heard. Painful as the subject of hell is, it is one about which I dare not, cannot, and must not be silent. Our second point today is, hell is real and truthful. Who would desire to speak of the fires of hell if God had not spoken about it? Who can safely hold his peace when God has spoken of it so plainly? I dare not shut my eyes to the fact that a deep-rooted unbelief lurks in the minds of men and women about hell. I see it seeping out in the utter indifference of some. They eat and drink and sleep as if there was no wrath to come. I see it creeping forth in the coldness of others about their neighbors' souls. They show little anxiety to awaken the unconverted and pull the firebrands from the fire. I desire to denounce such indifference with all my might, believing that there are terrors of the Lord for the wicked and rewards and bliss for the righteous. I call on all who profess to believe the Bible to be on their guard. I know that some do not believe that there is any hell at all. They think it is impossible that there can be such a place. They call it inconsistent with the mercy of God. They say it is too awful an idea to be really true. The devil, of course, rejoices in these views of such people. They mightily help his kingdom. They are preaching up his old favorite doctrine, you will not surely die. Furthermore, I know that some do not believe that hell is eternal. They tell us that it is incredible that a compassionate God will punish men and women forever. He will surely open the prison doors at some point. This is also a mighty help to the devil's cause. Take it easy and relax, he whispers to the sinners. And if you do make a mistake, never mind, it's not forever. I also know that some believe that there is a hell, but never accept that anybody is going there. In their mind, all people are good as soon as they die. All were sincere, all meant well, and all hope that they will go to heaven. Unfortunately, this is a common delusion. I can understand the feeling of the little girl who asked her mother, where are all the wicked people buried? For she found no mention on anyone else's gravestone except the good people. I also know that some people believe there is a hell, but they never like to hear it spoken of. It is a subject that should not be mentioned, in their opinion. They see no profit in talking about it, and are rather shocked when it is mentioned. This is also an immense help to the devil. Hush, hush, says Satan. Say nothing about hell. The wolf would like the shepherd to sleep while he prowls around the fold. The devil rejoices when Christians are silent about hell. Friend, all these notions are the opinions of man. What is it to you and me what man thinks of religion? Man will not judge us on the last day. There is but one point to be settled. What does the Word of God say? Do you believe the Bible? Then depend on it. Hell is real and true. It is as true as heaven, as true as justification by faith, as true as the fact that Christ died upon the cross. If you doubt hell, then there is no fact or doctrine that you may also doubt. Disbelieve hell, you unscrew, unsettle, and unpin everything in the scriptures. You may as well throw your Bible away at once. From no hell to no God is but a series of steps. Do you believe the Bible? Then depend on it. Hell will have inhabitants. The wicked will certainly be thrown into hell, and also all the people who forget God. The same blessed Savior who now sits on the throne of grace will one day sit on a throne of judgment. And men and women will see that there is such a thing as the wrath of the Lamb. The same lips which now say, come, come unto me, will one day say, depart from me, you who are cursed, I never knew you. Sadly, how awful the thought of being condemned by Christ himself, judged by the Savior, sentenced to misery by the Lamb of God. Do you believe the Bible? Then, depend on it, hell will be intense and not able to be changed. It is vain to talk of all the expressions about hell simply being figures of speech. The pit, the prison, the worm, the fire, the thirst, the blackness, the darkness, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the second death, all these may be figures of speech. The Bible figures mean something beyond all questions. And here they mean something which man's mind can never fully conceive. Oh, friend, the miseries of mind and conscience are far worse and those of the body. The whole extent of hell, the present suffering, the bitter recollection of the past, the hopeless prospect of the future will never be thoroughly known except by those who go there. Our third point today is hell is eternal. Do you believe the Bible? Then depend on it. Hell is eternal. It must be eternal, or words have no meaning at all. Forever and ever, everlasting, unquenchable, and never dying are all the expressions used about hell and expressions that cannot be explained away. It must be eternal, or the very foundations of heaven are shattered. If hell has an end, heaven has an end too. They both stand or fall together. It must be eternal, or every doctrine of the gospel is undermined. If a man may escape hell someday without faith in Christ or the sanctification of the Spirit, sin is no longer an infinite evil. And there was no such great need of Christ making an atonement. And where is the basis for saying that hell can ever change our heart or make it fit for heaven? It must be eternal, or hell would cease to be hell altogether. Give a man hope, and he will bear anything. Grant a hope of deliverance, however distant, and hell is but a drop of water. Our last point for today, hell must be proclaimed. Sadly, for that first day when you enter hell, for it will have no tomorrow. It will have no tomorrow. That day when men will seek death and not find it, and will desire to die, a death shall flee from them. Do you believe the Bible? Then depend on it. Hell is a subject that ought not to be kept back. It is striking to observe that no one says so much about hell as our Lord Jesus Christ, that gracious and merciful Savior, and the Apostle John, whose heart seems to be full of love. Truly, there is no doubt that ministers do not speak of hell as much as they should. I cannot forget the words of a dying man, Mr. Newton. He said this, "Sir, you often told me of Christ and salvation. Why did you not remind me of hell and its danger?" Let others hold their peace about hell if they will. I dare not do so. I see it plainly in Scripture, and I must speak of it. I fear thousands are on the broad road leading to hell, and I would gladly arouse them to a sense of the peril before them. What would you say of the man who saw his neighbor's house in imminent danger of being burned down and never raised the cry of fire? What ought to be said of us as ministers if we call ourselves watchmen for souls and yet see the fires of hell raging in the distance and never give the alarm? Call it bad taste if you like to speak of hell. Call it charity to make things pleasant and speak gently and pacify men with a constant lullaby of peace. My notion of charity is to clearly warn men and women of danger. My notion of taste as a minister is to declare the whole counsel of God. If I never spoke of hell, I would think that I had kept back something that was critical and should look on myself as an accomplice of the devil. Friend, in all tender affection, I beseech you to beware of false views of the subject on which I have been dwelling. Beware of the new and strange doctrines about hell and the eternity of punishment. Beware of manufacturing a God of your own, a God who is all mercy, but not just, a God who is all love, but not holy, a God who has heaven for everybody, but hell for none, a God who can allow good and bad to be side by side in time, but will make no distinction between good and bad in eternity. Such a God is an idol of your own. As truly an idol as any snake or crocodile in an Egyptian temple. The hands of your own fancy and sentimentality have made him. He is not the God of the Bible. And besides the God of the Bible, there is no God at all. Your heaven would be no heaven at all, a heaven containing all sorts of characters indiscriminately would be a miserable discord indeed. Sadly, for the eternity of such a heaven, there would be little difference between it and hell. Friend, there is a hell. There is a fire. Take heed lest you find out too late. Beware of being wise about that which is written. Beware of forming fanciful theories of your own and then trying to make the Bible square with them. Beware of making selections from your Bible to suit your taste. Dare not to say, I believe this verse, for I like it. I refuse that one, for I cannot reconcile it with my view. No, but who are you to contradict God? By what right do you talk in this way? Surely it would be better to say over every chapter in the Word of God, Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Ah, if men and women did this, they would never deny the unquenchable fire of hell. Amen.